and welcome back to another episode of The Tempo, the official podcast of the Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association. We are your hosts, Sav,
Mark,
and Tori.
Today we are happy to have our first special guest, the 49th National President of Kappa Kappa Psi, Bong Ko. Brother Ko was elected as the first Asian American brother to serve in this role by a unanimous vote at the 2023 National Convention. In this episode, we'll be talking with Bong to reflect on his first year of presidency and asking him to give some insight to his challenges, accomplishments, and hopes for the rest of the biennium. So thanks so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Where are we catching you? In the Keisei decorated room of the house?
Yes. Hello. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I am in my little corner of the loft because I locked my office space. So this is my little corner of my home in Indianapolis.
Awesome. It looks so cool. It's very, I recognize that, like, that shelf too. That's so cool. Cause like I have similar building wear in my office too. Okay. Well, first question on just some, basically where we left off with that sentence is about challenges, accomplishments, and all that. Let's kick things off. What have been, you can answer any of this in any fashion, so to speak, but what sort of challenges have you faced so far in the biennium? And you can also reflect on also some of your proudest accomplishments too.
Sure. So to start off with this question,
the easiest one first.
Oh, I know. I was like, well, it's been a great interview. Thank you for the call. So challenges of this biennium. I think if you were to ask anybody who's involved on the leadership, the management side of things, that it's been a pretty rough biennium thus far. What I'm hoping is that folks who are more so observing from the outside don't see it as such a tough time. But this biennium, we've dealt with, I feel like, pretty unique challenges. But I'll start with some general ones first, just so that people kind of get a feel for the position. So when you serve as national president, I would say you deal with three general buckets of challenges. Mostly just due to the depth and the weight of the position. So when you think about how many people are involved on all the different levels, the ongoing programs, initiatives, projects, committees, et cetera, communication and coordination oftentimes prove to be challenging each and every day. But the third bucket, I would say, is just the corporation of Kappa Kappa Psi. So when you serve as the national president, you also serve as the CEO. So any decision that you make, any action that you take, you always have to think through that extra layer or lens of the corporation to make sure that you're looking out for the longevity, the health and safety, and the growth of the corporation. So these are challenges that I think any of my predecessors have also faced. Some of the other unique challenges, and I say unique not because they're new, I don't think, but because of the circumstances and the conditions that have led to these challenges. And I would say most of these challenges have stemmed from the COVID-19 pandemic. And even though, at least to me, it feels like that was forever ago, I feel like a lot has still happened since then. And when you take a moment to think about it, I think people are a lot more affected by the pandemic than we'd like to admit, or maybe we even realize. So when you look at our members, there's a lot that's lingered on people's hearts and minds. People have missed out on so much, just like socializing, learning how to learn, learning how to connect with people, and learning how to learn and connect with people in band, and even missing out on playing their instruments and their first year at band camp, which I think is a really formative experience. You miss out on graduation. So all of that to say, we're dealing with issues on a chapter, district, and national level, just because I think people are a lot more traumatized, and we don't really have the resources as a country, as a world, to help people work through a lot of those issues. But then you really stop to think about it in a different layer. is that not only are the hearts and minds of people affected, but their bank accounts are affected as well. And I mean, I think it's a fair statement to say that to do anything that you enjoy, any of your extracurriculars, any of your hobbies, it costs quite a bit to just keep up things that you enjoy in life, to bring joy into your life.
Right.
Not to even mention to exist, right? Like things are just expensive. So the fraternity itself is not unique in that sense. Like the fraternity and our members, just like anybody else, just like any other organization, we're dealing with the same things. So how we're seeing it play out on the national level, we're seeing, because of the financial issues and the economic conditions, we're seeing band programs and music programs that are being defunded across the across the country. We're seeing a pretty large dip in enrollment in students across colleges and universities across the nation as well. And just, again, just to simply keep our lights on, it's just become more expensive. So when you look at the way that we're structured and that we're funded, our general fund, which runs the day-to-day operations of Kappa Kappa Psi, is 99.9% funded by student dues. So when you have when you have less chapters, less music programs, band programs, you have less chapters. When you have decreasing enrollment, you have less students. So like our income, our funding becomes really affected. We're working with much less, but then you look on the other side of the scale and things are much more expensive. So I say all that to say is that our challenges are different from what I think previous administrations, previous bioniums have dealt with, because we're having to be much more prudent and strategic with what we utilize fraternity funds on. We're having to say no to a lot more. We're having to pay a lot more, a lot closer attention to which chapters are paying what, and just finding ways in which to still bring the same value and still do the same amount of work, if not more, with much less. So I'll talk about some of the accomplishments then, kind of going off of this. But before I go into that, I did want to say, even though I'm painting what sounds to be like a bad picture, these day-to-day challenges, I am grateful and thankful for all the people that I get to work with who help us navigate these challenges, from HQ staff, from our volunteers, our committees, our national leaders, because working together, even though some of these things have been daunting, we've been able to do, I think, do a lot of good work this in just year one of this biennium. So all that to say is, like, of course, to our active members, thank you to those who have paid their dues and fees on time, if not early, please continue to do so. And of course, to our alums who have made financial gifts and contributions to the fraternity, like, that's such a great way to directly positively impact the fraternity. And so to anyone listening who would like to make a gift, you know, and may have questions, feel free to reach out to me. And I'm happy to talk through what that may look like. And even if it's a few dollars a day, a few dollars a month, I could say that's still helping us move the needle. So if you're curious, kksci.org/give, and that's a lot of information that you can take and kind of figure out where you want to give. So I'll pause there. I don't want to keep talking too much. Like, do you all have any thoughts, or like, should I go on to my accomplishments? Like, where do you want to go with this?
Well, I will say, you know, it is tough to talk about the challenges, but it is a reality of, you know, it's life. And so I think, you know, I think brothers really do appreciate transparency. And so being able to admit where we have challenges and how we can move together as a brotherhood, I think, is really important. And so I thank you for being transparent about things that are right. Not going well. You know, most of the time people are like, oh yeah, I just want to say everything is so great, like, it's going awesome, but like, saying it's not is, it takes a lot of courage. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm happy to. And you know what's funny is if you were to ask those who are close to me, they would probably say that I speak more about the negatives than the positives. So I'm appreciative of these questions to also talk about some of the, it made me think about the positives as well. It's really funny because at NatCon 23, someone started calling me Chicken Little because of all the concerns I was bringing up. And they're like, you cannot have this guy is falling moment. And I was like, what does that mean? I was like, who is Chicken Little? And they're like, never mind, Bong. Stop scaring people.
Yeah, well, talk about some of things that you're really happy about, your accomplishments and stuff.
Yeah. So some of the accomplishments, again, I always have to start out by saying how proud and grateful for I am for the team that I get to work with and the people that I get to work with. And, you know, I try to do a good job of telling them that as often as I can. So for those listening, thank you for all the time, energy, whatever it is that you put into Kappa Kappa Psi, thank you. But I really want to say thank you to, and I don't know if our students will be listening to this. I know it's probably a lot more alumni facing, but to our alumni, I hope that you also see our students are doing great work. The activities are there, the behaviors are there. Like, they are continuing the legacy of Kappa Kappa Psi. And I'm just truly grateful. I'm proud of the work that they are doing because we're seeing the things that we often ask for in our students to make sure that Kappa Kappa Psi continues to be relevant and valuable to the college and university band movement. Some of the more specific things that I am proud of, as a national leadership team, we've been able to create what I believe to be a pretty engaging biennial vision, a biennial plan, and an engagement model or benchmark. So for this biennium, we have the Kappa Kappa Psi Journey, which is just really focused in on helping brothers understand that they are connected to nearly 105 years of Kappa Kappa Psi, that there are traditions, that there is a rich history there, but there's also a bright future. And in order for us to honor those traditions and that history and to mark towards that bright future, it's about being reflective now and seeing what areas can we do a better, where can we do better, and then what areas can we maybe make some adjustments. And the areas that I'm most proud of are the adjustments that we've been able to make this biennium. And earlier I mentioned about the finances, like we've had to make quite a few cuts and make some tough decisions about HQ, about where we send people, the things that we're investing in. We've made some pretty hard decisions. Then you look at the biennial plan, we have our months of focus. Before this biennium, for a while, we've had the November month of musicianship, but for some reason, there really wasn't anything else that sort of rounded out the circle of the star, if you will.
Right.
So in September, we have our national month of service now. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have November month of musicianship. We have February month of leadership. April is brotherhood. And then June is celebration. So in a way, we're starting to build on top of the work that's been done by previous administrations. And again, I'm proud of that because I think oftentimes people think leadership is just about changing and doing what's new, but I think it's also about trying to continue and build on the work that's already been done. And the last thing I'll mention in terms of a proud accomplishment, we're currently working on an annual report right now to share more specifics about year one of this biennium. But we just got finances back for the end of May 2024, because, you know, it takes a lot of time to go through everything and make sure things are adjusted. But we were able to underspend based on what we budgeted for each month. We were able to underspend at the end of year one by $80,000. And I think that shows the commitment that the national leadership and HQ are to making sure that we're keeping Kappa Kappa Psi as affordable as possible, to making sure that we are being prudent and strategic with our funds. But of course, we can only cut so much because we can't really cut our way to victory, right? Like, we can only cut so much. So the next step for us is to figure out and create opportunities for our alums, for our donors, to help be a part of the growth and the stabilizing of Kappa Kappa Psi. So if it's through donations, through volunteerism, whatever it is, I know we'll probably talk a little bit more about that later, but again, when it comes down to accomplishments, even with all the bumps in the road thus far, I am so proud of our team and how we've been able to show up as leaders and show up as brothers and still find time to find joy in the work that we do and still get things done.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Speaking of like the journey in the future, what are some of your goals that you like major goals you have for the rest of the biennium?
Well, it depends how long do we have for this interview, because I got pages and pages. If I had to highlight some, it would be, one would be to continue the work that we're doing with the Baiano vision and plan. So if for folks who received the August 2024 newsletter, we introduced the engagement benchmark framework, which is the Crown Pearl Gold. And with that for our chapters, and let me back up. When I was an active member, I always thought it was interesting that certain chapters would be sort of highlighted and rewarded for this great work. And then, but there was no like framework or there was no system in place for us to know like, well, what should we be doing? Because there's a lot of vagueness out there when it comes to Kappa Kappa Psi. So the Crown Pearl goals, it's going to give chapters specific things that they can achieve and that they should work towards. It's giving chapters a framework of what to do to be considered successful within Kappa Kappa Psi, or in a way like we're defining that. So that's one of our goals, okay, is to really roll out those benchmarks and those goals, and then to continue really leaning into the months of focus. Year one was really about introducing it to see how the people felt about these months. And the feedback generally has been, well, we want more. We want things to be more specific. We want more time to really lean into this. That's like, great. If you're wanting more, then we're going to give you more. So again, it's really about continuing the work that we've been doing. The second thing I would say is really, for me, making sure that we are, for me, it's making sure that I am preparing our president-elect, Dr. Rohr, to take on next biennium. And the last thing I'll mention in terms of goals is to continue to, so my background in my education is in nonprofit management, and what I would like to do is to continue bringing in some of the more modern practices and tools and just anything that we can do to modernize the way that we operate, even if it's including, all right, we're going to do a month-by-month cash flow, we're going to do a burn rate to make sure that we can continue to be prudent and strategic with our funding to make sure that we're still providing value, but being the most financially responsible and effective organization. So again, it's about making those small tweaks where we can, and then helping in that sort of change management for Kappa Kappa Psi to continue on for another 100 years and longer. And a special goal that I'll mention for myself is I'm just really excited for 2025 National Convention in Lexington, and I hope that our listeners are as well. We chose that spot because we've been there before, but it's a spot that is within relative distance to 80% of our chapters. It is a, compared to some of the previous spots, it's a pretty affordable location, and just in general, the convention site was completely remodeled. So if you're curious, take a look at the Central Bank Conference Center or Convention Center in Lexington, and it's completely new. I think it's maybe 2 or 3 years old now. So those who have been to Lexington before will, I think, be surprised at how modern everything looks. So one of my things that I'm excited for and one of my goals is to make it to 2025, not quit. I'm gonna stick it through.
Yeah. And that was the same convention site, right, from last Lexington? Is that what you're saying too?
Correct. Yep. It's the same hotel. It's the same. We'll have the Opera House again for the NIB concert. The main thing is the convention center has been completely remodeled, so it looks absolutely amazing. Yeah.
I know we're all really looking forward to NatCon.
Good. I'm glad to hear.
Yes.
Let's transition. So like you mentioned, your personal work and your personal goals and how they relate to KSI. So similarly, how is your job as Assistant Director of Alumni Relations and Individual Gifts at Indiana University compared to this role as National President? If there's really much overlap, or how does that compare?
I think this is a really good question because what's really interesting is the day that I got elected into this position was also technically my first day on the job. So it was really interesting because I was like, well, when I was talking to work, I was like, could I do online onboarding at that time? Because I will not be in the state of Indiana. So it's been a really interesting journey being in both of these roles at the same time, because there is a lot of overlap and there's a lot of similarities. At the core of it, both positions center around music and then engaging with the musician or the music lover, those who appreciate the art. It also centers, or is the kind of core of it, is engaging with people to find out what they're passionate about in these spaces, and then finding opportunities for folks to give back in some capacity. In Kappa Kappa Psi, the main difference is, of course, we do always appreciate people who donate, but we also know that our alumni also want to give back in terms of their time, in terms of volunteering for a committee, or it's mentoring students and chapters. So in Kappa Kappa Psi, it's a little bit more about their time and talents. And then in my role with the Jacobs School of Music is more about people's treasure. And I try to find ways for people, based on their interests and their passion points, what they would like to donate to or make a gift to, so that kind of leave their legacy. But really, at the end of the day, both positions are very similar. I get to travel to a lot of the same conferences for both, like Midwest Clinic, EMBA. I get to meet a lot of the same people. And again, it's really funny sometimes because the Jacobs School, I think, still is the largest music school in the country. So we do have a lot of people who have gone through the school in either a full degree or some sort of certificate. And then a lot of times when I'm working with director of bands and athletic band directors who are also our alums. So it's been really interesting kind of how both positions have overlapped. And I feel very lucky because it helps me balance that time a little bit better.
Speaking
it's
of...
interesting.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Tori.
speaking of balance, how do you maintain a balance between work, KSI, and also just, you know, living life?
Yeah. Oh, okay. May I make an honest observation?
Yes.
Well, every time I hear this question, I feel like it's a personal attack. It's like, I feel like I'm being perceived and I'm going to get outed as a bad balancer.
We're all there with you. We're just asking, how are you just as bad as the rest of us?
Yeah.
We're trying to get advice for our own lives.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Okay. So, how do I balance it? Some days I feel like I am pretty okay at it. And then there are days, more often than not, and of course, fairly recently, I feel like I'm just terrible at it. And it's something that I'm continuing to work on and continuing to try to find ways that make sense for me. And I think that what I have learned is that for me, it's about the clarity I have about myself, about what my capacity is, what my passion points are. So like, specifically what types of work burns me out much quicker, what types of work fills my cup, what are things that I can spend hours doing and it feels like it's only been a few minutes, and what are things that I am doing for only a few minutes and it feels like it's been a decade. And then also understanding my boundaries, my limitations, and just again just knowing myself. So it's a lot about, for me, it's a lot about introspection and then making sure that I take the lessons I've learned about myself and then crafting that into how I manage my day. And there are three specific things that I do to kind of help me out. And maybe these will help others who are listening as well. Is number one, I write everything down. I used to think that I was really good at remembering things. And then I realized I'm a selective listener. And so I listen to things I like to listen to. And then my brain shuts out things that I don't enjoy. So I have forced myself to write everything down. So, I'm an Apple user. So anytime I'm on some sort of meeting or call, I have my notes app open and I type everything down, even from like even the simplest of details of like, they said this, great. Like that just helps me remember, because also as a creative individual, I also learned that I make up a lot of things. So I have to hold myself accountable. It's like, all right, no one said that. You're making that up. So I write everything down. And number two, I always, before I start my day, I sit down. I always block out time at the beginning of each day to go through my emails and to go through my schedule. Because again, my mind likes to misremember. So it's like, oh, my day should be pretty free. I'm probably okay. And then, you know, I go maybe play some games for a little bit before I start my task. And I was like, oh shit, I have, you know, I have a Zoom call that I'm supposed to be on. So I always schedule some time at the beginning to go through those emails to see, all right, what, and to go through my calendar as well to see what does my day actually look like. And then I proceed from there. And then the last thing I do is I always build in fluff time. There are some folks out there who practice blocking, and I appreciate that to some extent. But I always, you know, some people will block like, all right, 15 minutes for this, 45 minutes for this, and go. I try to block out at least half an hour or at least an hour for everything, because one, I know that I'm going to get distracted and I'm not going to finish what I was doing, right? So I was like, okay, I have an hour. It gives me some fluff light to do things. And I put everything into my calendar so that, again, it does get blocked out. It's just, I'm not so specific to the timing that it becomes unrealistic. So I would say those are the three things that I do to help balance. But the last thing I'll say is I've also transitioned from trying to balance my time. Because when I hear the word balance, it oftentimes sounds like things have to be equal.
Right.
And to me, it's become more about prioritizing and saying that some days, you know, I'm going to have to focus more on KK Psy things. Like this past week, it was mostly KK Psy things. And, you know, I hope no one from work hears this podcast. Like I barely did any work related things. And there's some days where I really can't do KK Psy things. And I just have to tell my teammates like, hey, y'all are going to have to help pick up the slack or, you know, do other things because I can't really commit to KK Psy this week. So to me, it's more about, it's been shifting from balancing to prioritizing, which I think has helped with a lot of the anxiety that I often have when I know that there's this list of things to do and I don't know how to really tackle it. So it's being able to say, you know what, no KK Psy today, or you know what, no personal things today, or no work things today. And I think that's really helped me manage the day-to-day stress of my activities.
That's a really great way to approach that. I hadn't even considered that too. Like, you know, similarly, like we deal with a lot of work, band, KSI, three different committees, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, I want to play games too. What's the priority right now? But also the dishes downstairs and the laundry. No one's going to do that for me. Yeah.
I have I like to grocery shop at some about. Point. That is a really great way to look at it. Like balancing, you're right. It makes it sound like everything has to be equal. And the reality of life is some weeks are more focused toward one thing than others. And that's an awesome way to look at it. More of prioritizing what is most important, what needs to be done right now.
Yeah.
Considering the shift in mindset that you mentioned, do you have any advice for someone that would be considering running for a national position in the future?
So I'm really excited for this question because the National Council and I, we just wrote an article about running for national office for the podium. So whatever the next issue is going to be, it's going to be this super long article. So I'll start off by saying anybody who's interested in running for anything at any level, I think the place that you really have to start with is the ritual. And I don't say that to be all woo-woo about it, but I think the ritual, you know, to its credit, is fairly specific in ways to be successful in life. And I think you have to have, I guess without sharing our secrets to everybody, like you have to have those characteristics, those attributes to be able to be successful. Because if you're not successful in life, sometimes I worry if you can be successful in KK Psy. So that's a deeper conversation for another day. But I would say, you know, take a look at the ritual and see and do some honest reflection of yourself. Like what are things that you do really well with in those areas and areas that you have to work on? From my observation, and these are just honest thoughts, don't know if I should say it out loud, but our organization is full of ambitious people. I think in that department, KK Psy is doing really awesome. However, when it comes to some of these other traits and attributes, I don't know if we do a really good job of that. And I think, again, it comes down to the individual because no one should try to be Bong's level of successful because like I'm kind of dealing with my own things. You should not strive to be me. You should strive to be successful you. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, again, I think it's about that individual reflection and looking at the ritual to see what is it that we're looking for. So that way we're sort of speaking the same language and we're showcasing the same things. Now, when it comes to running for the national office or presidency, I think it's a lot about making sure that you're confident in your goals, that you're clear and consistent in your vision. And whatever it is that you craft or you bring to the table, that again, it does have that good mix of sort of visionary and inspirational and sort of realism and what can actually be done, like specific goals and whatnot. And from there, when you're in the sort of election process, just being open to listening to other people and their feedback, because really at the end of the day, you know, I often had to ask myself, am I running for me or am I running for other people? And if you're running for other people, you have to take in their feedback. Now, not everyone deserves a say in what you do, but you should at least be open to listening to it, because your vision and your goals should be reflective of the future that people want, right? The people that you're serving, it should incorporate and be inclusive of their wants, their vision, their future. And it should reflect that your vision is there to create a better tomorrow for them, right? So at the end of the day, when it comes to running for a national office, it can oftentimes seem really intimidating. I decided I wanted to run in 2017. I was like, all right, 2017 NatCon, here I go. And then I had some conversations and it was very clear to me, nope, I am not ready. I need more, a little bit more professional experience. I need just a little bit more life experience. So I took a bit of a break, took a step back. And then 2019, I was like, all right, from 2017 to 2019, I was like, I'm going to use that time for some deeper reflection for those conversations to make sure that my vision was adjusting and adaptive to the people that I would be serving at that point. It was for VPSA. Again, take your time, you know, build your close group of people, your like advisors, if you will, around you to give you that clear feedback. And you also should know that there are brothers out here who want to see you to be successful. So, you know, again, just be open and honest with it, build your team around you, and be willing to receive the feedback that other people might have, and just really be confident in it. I know that imposter syndrome exists. I still deal with imposter syndrome each and every day. And I have to sometimes just even tell myself, you are here for a reason. You're running for a reason. And sometimes that's the best that you can do and the best you can get. But I think if you believe in yourself, others will too. And if it's if it doesn't happen now, I always take a no as like, it's not a no right now. Maybe it's a no right now, but it could be something in the future. Right. So don't give up on your journey. Don't give up just because it's a no or you don't get it. Like, it's about striving for the highest, which can mean many different things, but it's not perfection. It's not winning. It's not, you know, positive all the time. So all of that to say is that if you are interested in running, again, we have this article in the Podium coming out, which should be around late October, early November. Take a read, because I've asked each of the national officers to pen their own section of like, what is it that they do? What skills are necessary? What does their day-to-day look like? What's their time commitment to look like? And the advice that they would give to anybody willing, who is interested in running. And then we'll also be sharing information out probably September, October about the national election process and the nominations process. So if you want to reach out, have questions for me. Yeah, if you have questions for me, I'm happy to connect president@kkpsi.org.
That's awesome, because I think those are a lot of the questions people have when they're thinking about running for a national position. They're like, well, what does this look like? How do I do this on a day-to-day? How do I balance it? So that I'm really looking forward to reading that. That'll be awesome.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it. I hope it's not boring, because as you were writing this, I was like, you have myself, you have a scientist, you have a lawyer. We're all writing. I'm like,
oh, I love that. And no author. What's going on? Yeah. You mentioned that you started considering this in 2017, only because I don't know if I know or we know, but when did you get initiated, first part?
Yeah, I was initiated in spring of 2012, March 5th, 2012, to be more specific, at
Nice.
IU.
Okay. So during that time in the past, decade and a half or so, or just a decade, how have you seen, how do I phrase this? Well, the main question is how does it feel after all of this time to be representing the AAPI community? Like how, and then also like how have you seen that evolve over the past decade, even just alone? And how can you speak to that being on the national level now?
Yeah, so if I may, I'll start with a quote to kind of preface. If you all know of Sandra Oh, she's in Grey's Anatomy and maybe other things as well. But she has this quote that went pretty viral in the AAPI community. And she did it in a, like a big award ceremony, which was, "It's an honor to simply be Asian, or to just be Asian." So to answer your question, how does it feel to represent my community? I mean, it's a tremendous honor, and it's a tremendous set of responsibilities that also, it's pretty heavy in the sense that, the fraternity is almost 105 years old. The fact that I'm only the first AAPI national president kind of blows my mind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I won't get too political in it, and I mean,
Right,
I'm
right.
happy to at some point, but for the context of this conversation and for our listeners, I am honored and I am proud. And I every time I get to hear a story, for example, the number of AAPI identifying brothers and even sisters who come up to me during different events and whatnot and say, "Thank you." And then like they're both surprised and shocked to see that there
Yeah.
is an Asian national officer. And then they're like, "Thank you. It's so cool to see, somebody who looks like us, who has a name that's similar to ours, be a national officer." And I never know how to respond because I'm like, well, I'm just some dude who just really loves band. And
Ranch.
so and ranch, yes, and ranch too. And so it's an honor and it's a responsibility that I'm still learning how to best serve and represent on a day-to-day basis. And I guess really what it comes down to, more specific on the AAPI, and for folks who are listening who's not familiar with the term, it stands for Asian American Pacific Islander, and there's several different acronyms for our community depending on who's a part of that conversation. But what I am fearful of every single day is if I were to make a mistake, any of my weaknesses, someone was unhappy about something I said, someone felt I was rude or mean, if I had a blunder or how I show up, and those and any of those negative perceived notions then get passed on, and sort of the entire AAPI community gets painted with this piece, and that's what I'm fearful of. So it I've had to be pretty clear with myself is, I serve as a representative, but not always the speaker of the AAPI community, right? And it's hard for me to I want to advocate for Asian American brothers. I want to advocate for those who look like me and who may not believe that there is a space for them on national leadership. But then I have to really consider how this might affect people, because if I go out, guns a blazing and try to be too political with things, people may have a negative connotation of like, oh, this group of people just wants to do this. And that's not really the case. All of that to say that how things have changed when I was active at the 2017 National Convention. Actually, I'll go back to 2015. It was actually in Lexington. We
Lexington.
had Yeah, we had our first Asian American national officer, Dr. Travis Cross from UCLA. He was appointed. Yeah, he was appointed though. So I will never let him have this. Him and I have this constant battle. So in a way, like it was great to see him in that role, because then in a way it wasn't like, oh, I see myself up there one day. It was, oh, this is possible. It was like this like very subtle thing of like, oh, this is possible for me someday, and I could do this. And I never had a doubt that I could or couldn't do it. Like I was like, it like some
Right.
So for anybody who questions if representation matters or not, I would be happy to have a healthy debate with them and go toe-to-toe and say, yes, it does matter. Because at the end of the day, Kappa Kappa Psi is one of the most, if not the most diverse organizations that I've been a part of. And that's something we should be extremely proud of, because when you are seeing things on the news, the things that we see on social media these days, we get to be a space that truly lives out the value or the saying that music is a universal language. And for us to be able to represent so many different communities beyond skin tone and race and ethnicity, and to sexual identity, to how people like neurodivergence and all the other good stuff out in life, our people represent, our leadership represents our people and our members. And that's really the goal of it. So I say all this to kind of come back full circle to say that it's an honor, and it's something that I'm very proud of to serve as a representative of the AAPI community and our AAPI brothers and sisters. But all that to say that we all have something about us that represents a community in some way, shape, or form. And I don't think we should really shy away from that. We should have these conversations, and we should bring people into the conversation. Because when you think about Kappa Kappa Psi, we're here to serve not just brothers, we're here to serve all band members of all bands, right? Yeah. And that means being open and inviting to all people of all backgrounds. So I will pause there, because I will go on a monologue.
Get on the soapbox.
No, you're so right, though. Music is 100% a universal language. Doesn't matter where you come from. You know, we're all here because we love music. Shifting gears a little bit to some of the alumni side, why do you think it's important for alumni to continue to serve after graduation?
Yeah, really good question. So I will say, I will double down and reiterate what you said, that it is important for our alums to continue to serve. When that is totally up to you. I am a strong believer that you should take some time after graduation or after you leave an institution to focus on you, because when you're in your active years, you're giving up a lot of time to your band, a lot of time to your studies, a lot of time to Kappa Kappa Psi. And I think it's a bit of time, very similar to what our ritual has asked us to do, which is to take that time to rest and reflect and to be ready to receive the rewards of tomorrow. That is a personal belief of mine. There are some folks who would like to jump in right away, and that's okay too. Why is it important? It's important because we took an oath and we made a promise to ourselves and each other that we made a commitment to be a brother for life. And service is a part of that oath. Service is a part of being a brother. And if for our, all of our alums or any of our alums who are unfamiliar with the Road to Wisdom, the last chapter, the last lesson, lesson 8, is about the lifelong commitment. Mm-hmm. And it talks about this journey that we're on, and you are a brother of KKSI for much longer as an alum than you are as an active member. Your active members are really formative, and it sort of sets that foundation for you. But then you have all this freedom as an alum to really figure out, who do you want to be as a brother? How do you want to show up? Why do you want to continue to give back? And how specifically do you want to give back? And that's totally up to you. And I think it's both scary and exciting to have sort of that a bigger canvas to figure out, what does your KKSI journey look like? So there, in the alumni engagement world, there are the 5 T's that we often talk about: your time, your talent, your treasures, your ties, and your testimonies. So those are 5 that I often try to use to help people identify how do they want to give back. I am not under the illusion that every member of our alumni body has deep pockets, are going to give and give and give. They can give whatever makes sense to them, and whatever that dollar amount is, that it is still greatly appreciated. But maybe it's about giving their talents. Maybe it's about giving up their time to volunteer. Maybe it's about connecting us with band directors who are looking to start a chapter, connecting us with people who may have been alums that want to reconnect with the fraternity. Maybe it's about their testimonies. And if you all we're doing this social media campaign right now of let's talk about Kappa Kappa Psi and why KK Psi. And we were asking people, why did you choose to become a brother of Kappa Kappa Psi? So when people share their stories, they're giving us their testimony, and that is just as powerful, right? So whatever it is that you decide to do, I hope that you'll take the time to figure out why should you give back. And oftentimes it comes back to, I want to give back because KK Psi has done so much for me. I want to give back because music and band are important. Yeah. I want to give back because it's the right thing to do and I believe in service. So whatever that reason is, I can't tell you what it is. You have to do that soul searching. But whatever the reason is, I invite you and encourage you to figure out what's best for you. I'm not saying that everyone has to run for national president. Maybe that's a crazy thing to do. Maybe you want to focus more on other things in life, but you want to say, hey, I want to help on this committee. Yeah. I want to mentor a chapter. Whatever it is that you decide to do, I invite you to figure out your KKY, because I think that's going to be sort of the guiding light of how you stay involved and whatever that looks like. So the why is totally up to you, but it's important that you do give back.
I love the 5 T's that you talked about. That was so cool. I never considered something like that. You know, I am also the, we all serve on respective district alumni associations. And, you know, we're always talking about or considering ways to, like, how do we keep our alumni involved? You know, we always know that money concept is there, but we're like, how do we explain or just evaluate it from an outside perspective? You know, because most alumni really just see it for that. But as you said, like, there's obviously very many ways that it could be perceived too. And something so simple as, you know, like 5 T's is really awesome. And I'm definitely taking something away from this, and that is a top one. I love that. Tori's looking all around. Do we want to do one more alumni question? Like one more alumni-based?
Yeah, we can. Sorry, forgot how to read for half a second.
Tori's loading. Brain is loading. This is a regular occurrence with Tori.
Brain is on dial up.
That'll get added to our flubs. We just have like a folder of flub noises that we somehow catch.
Yeah, they get added to the soundboard for the Discord server. outside of KSI, how do you stay connected to music?
all good. Hey, that was me yesterday. So,
would you believe that English is my first language?
I do. Let's see. Hey, English is hard. It is not as a side tangent here, English, I struggle with English on a day-to-day basis. And there are moments, just a bit ago, where my brain is trying to convert from different languages and it's like glitching. And it's like, I don't know which language I'm speaking in. So oh, no. I hear you. Okay. So the question is about how do I stay connected to music? I think the easiest or the most prominent way is through my professional role, my day-to-day role. With the Jacobs School of Music, I have so many opportunities to stay involved in music. And what I am deeply thankful for with my role with the Jacobs School is that it's opened my eyes up to music beyond band. And band and wind instruments will be my first love always. But I have really gotten to really appreciate orchestral music and some operas, not all operas. Some of them are interesting, but some operas have been really, really, really nice. And then, of course, vocal and choral work as well. And so through my professional work, I'm able to sort of expand my horizons, if you will, with music. Outside of that, I love attending events. So this upcoming weekend, or I don't know when this will be posted, but August 9th or so, I'm going to DCI Finals. finals weekend, which will be here in Indianapolis, I go to our state's marching band competitions, Bands of America, Music for All events. So like, I am pretty active and engaged with the music community. I should probably do more playing of music.
Mood, yeah.
Shouldn't we all?
Right. So like, maybe I need to join a community band in the near future here once I am retired as national president. But something that I'm also really proud of, I serve as a staff member for a drum major clinic called the Crossroads Drum Major and Leadership Clinic. So every summer, I get to do several clinics and camps on leadership, on how to conduct, on how to be expressive. And even though I don't have a music education or music degree, I work in a space where I hear a lot of these things. I learn a lot of these things for free. And then I take that information and I share it with our students. I say, all right, you know, when you conduct in this way, maybe you can show it in, you know, instead of going down just for one, maybe you can have a higher ictus to really showcase the sound that you're trying to get the ensemble to do. And so how I stay connected to music is pretty exciting in my opinion, because I get to do a lot of things that my band director friends get to do, but without the stress of parents and without the stress of administration.
Yeah. Not having to worry about planning a trip and a bus and hotels and
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's all a great the fun, way to none stay of the responsibility.
Connected. It's like having nieces and nephews. It's great.
There you go.
Yeah. So, if it's okay with you, we have some rapid fun fact questions for you. Pretty easy things. So, we've got a quick little list here. Let's see. What is your favorite color?
Red.
Favorite food?
Anything fried.
What is your favorite K-pop group?
BTS, forever and always.
Who is your favorite superhero?
Ooh, my favorite superhero, One Punch Man.
Nice.
Where did you go on your last vacation?
It was a workcation. I went to Seoul, Korea, and I got to spend some time not doing work things.
That's awesome. Calls or text?
Calls, because I'm so bad at text.
What is your Hogwarts house?
Ravenclaw.
Yes. Me and Mark did the same thing. Sorry, Tori. You're Slytherin. You're out of here. What is your hidden talent?
My hidden talent? It goes back to my drum major days, and I try not to do it anymore because I'm old, but I can bend backwards and touch my head to the floor, and I do it once a year for homecoming, and that's it.
Oh, my God.
I don't think my body could do that. if you know it, what is your Myers-Briggs type?
I am an ENFJ in my natural state, but I've also learned that in my adaptive or like stress state, I am an ENTJ.
Okay. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I don't sleep, so both.
All the time.
Sleep deprived pigeon.
And lastly, what are your big three on your astrology chart?
Ooh, I was just talking about this. So what is the regular one called?
The sun.
My sun, I'm a Virgo, and apparently it's very obvious to people. Every time I say I'm a Virgo, they're like, yeah, that checks out.
I'm also a Virgo.
Yes. I'm a Leo rising, which, again, people are like, yeah, that makes sense, and I don't know how to take that. there are a lot of Leos in my life, and they're some of my not favorite people, but I love Leos. My moon is Scorpio, which, yeah. So Virgo, Leo, Scorpio.
Virgos unite forever.
And there is... We were all talking about this, like, all beforehand, too. So we're, like, well-prepared on possible answers. There's one last question, and I'm sure it would help fill... A void in many people's hearts. What is your favorite condiment and why is it ranch? Because brothers keep finding a way to find this into your life, and so I feel feel like a lot of us need to know.
Oh my gosh, I have a packet of it right here.
Oh my goodness.
Already ready for next NatCon.
Absolutely.
Here's the ranch sticker.
Absolutely. Okay. So,
oh my goodness.
I have to admit, so
it's like the same.
When it comes to KKSI events, ranch, I think the reason why ranch is such a favorite, a top three, is because it's, what's the word I'm looking for? I can use it on a lot of different things.
Versatile.
Versatile. Thank you. Versatile. And it comes in handy because usually when I go to fraternity events, there are other people who also like ranch. And so, like, it's a really weird, quirky way to connect with people. Even people who are like, I like blue cheese. And then we get into, like, a healthy debate about why blue cheese sucks. Then, you know, then we become friends, right? So ranch is a top three. But I also do have other loves in my life. Like, I love sriracha. Like, I enjoy spicy food. And so when I eat with my family with, you know, srirachas, I have this, like, little travel bottle of sriracha, just like my ranch, everywhere I go. So there's also that. But if anybody who's not tried sesame oil with salt in the sesame oil, when you do, like, steak and stuff like that, it just gives a nice, nutty, earthy taste to things. And to me, it's a little bit less preservatives and whatnot. So those are my top three. Now, why ranch? Okay, I'm going to go back to what convention was that? The 2015 NCD convention. I was district president of the North Central District, and we were in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And for our banquet meal, we had this chicken with this, like, bile-like yellow sauce on it. And it wasn't, like, nicely drizzled. It was kind of, like, glooped on it, right? And then, like, it had coagulated to a certain point where it kept really good form, right? And then, at that point, it had, like, tentacles. So, anyways.
No.
Our CFR at that convention, Yvonne Day, she's going to hate me for sharing the story, but she saw that chicken, she ran out, and then, like, went to vomit. And then for the rest of the evening was out because she was so sick, just looking at this bile chicken. Knowing this, and you know, I've eaten some questionable things in life, so I was like, I'll give it a try. So I had ranch that I just poured all over the chicken, and I honestly couldn't even taste the chicken. It just tasted like gooey. So that is how the ranch thing got started, because I will say our banquet meals are not great by any means. So, like, I just get through the night with just smothering everything in ranch. And again, the reason why I love it is because it is a versatile. And my first real job ever was working at this wing joint where I didn't really work. I more so just, like, ate. But I did make the ranch, and we would, like, mix mayo and, like, this, like, buttermilk and this the Hidden Valley powder in it.
Yep.
Did you work at Wingstop?
I know, Wingstop Ranch. That's what that sounds like.
Did you work at Wingstop?
It's a unique place called Buckaloo's on IU's campus. If you ever come visit Bloomington, please let me know and I'll take you there. But it's a great place, and I spent a lot of time making ranch, and I just, like, fell in love with this condiment that now people send. I don't know where people are finding my address for.
No way.
Yes, I've gotten ranch or Hidden Valley related tea ornaments, underwear, sock, cards, powder packets, like ranch. So many ranch related things that I now have, like, a little glass case that I bought.
Yeah.
No, right. So, like, I have this glass case that I've been decorating with these ranch related things. So if anyone were to ever break into my home, I feel like they're going to be so confused.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
So the goal for the next NatCon is, for all the brothers listening, how many bottles of ranch can we make sure Bong leaves with from NatCon? A suitcase full of ranch bottles.
That's
a dangerous question.
If you don't drive to the next NatCon, you may need to bring an extra suitcase and check it.
Imagine going through security with that one. They're like, sir, what is this? You're like, look, don't ask questions you don't want the answers to.
Right. And then I'll just say this. I've asked for a ranch fountain. And if there's not a ranch fountain, I will not be attending banquet.
I really
We're
hope there is.
Holding to that. Yeah.
The updated convention center. They better have a ranch fountain.
I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think that is all that we had for you today. Thank you again so much for joining us. It's been really great to talk to you. And I was going to see if you wanted to, I think you shared your email earlier, but if you want to share any social media tags or anything for brothers to connect with you and talk to you and bother you and send you ranch.
Absolutely. Again, thank you for inviting me to be a part of this call and for allowing me to be a part of the program. I'm truly honored to be a part of the Tempo, and I'm glad that you all have started a new podcast, because doing the one before for KKSI, I know how much work goes into this. So thank you all for the countless hours and time you put behind the scenes. It's a lot of work. So for myself, for those who would like to connect to myself in Frat Force One here, that I exist in the frat world, Bong T Co on Facebook and Instagram. I also have a TikTok, but I have not really figured out how to be funny on TikTok yet. People keep telling me I'm cringy, and I don't really enjoy being called cringy. So I have no content just yet, but I am on TikTok. But again, Bong T Co on Facebook and Instagram. Email is president@kkpsi.org or bongco@kkpsi.org. I'm very terrible with text, so please don't text me. I'm also terrible with answering messages. So really the best way to get to me is email, or by just calling me up and telling me you need to respond now. So
cold calls.
Oh, cold calls. Absolutely.
Well, an easy way I think that you can get views is something out there about this backbend that you can do at homecoming.
That's a good idea. I might, for homecoming in October, I might have to try that. I just hope that I can get up this time.
There's only so many more years that can do that, so you're gonna go back and you hear a crack, and then you'll know this is the last year.
Yeah.
Truly, this is how my presidency is gonna end early, because No.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hopefully, no one upstairs hears that. So. Thanks again, Bong. It really means a lot to us.
Thank you all so much.
As always, we'd like to thank the National Alumni Association Communications Committee for making this podcast possible. Looking ahead to the National Convention, our Programs Committee is now accepting workshop proposals. If there is a specific topic you would like to hear at the convention or discuss during a fireside chat, please check our link tree for the Google form or contact our Programs Director, Greg Boyke, at boyke@kksi.org. And thank you, listeners, for joining another episode of Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association, The Tempo. If you want to connect with us, you can send us an email at aacommunications@kksi.org. If you are not already following us, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at kksiaa. We would like to hear your feedback and suggestions for future episodes. If you enjoyed your time here, be sure to subscribe to Kappa Kappa Psi Alumni Association, The Tempo, so you can stay notified when new episodes drop. Have a wonderful day, and as always,
A.
E.
A.